we will tonight. And normally you get a Christmas message preached. We still have one more Sunday, so it's possible. But so it's not happening today. That's a clue there. I think it was Wednesday morning for prayer, I was reading in the Word and reading through Luke, and I came to a passage of Scripture that I, you know, read so many times, and, you know, probably read so many times, you know, you can just skim through it and not really read it. You know, you just like kind of just go on autopilot as you come to that part and wait for the next, you know, golden nugget that maybe you've never heard before. Well, right in this verse, there was a golden nugget that I had never read before. And it jumped off of the page at me, and I'm like, wow. And I told Gay about it, and she goes, oh, that's nice. You know, it's like, and I couldn't even really describe why I felt this way about it. And today, I have to tell you, I still can't. So let's see where the Lord takes us. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is where He wants me. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 9. And I think it's around starts around verse 10. And this is one of the a few accounts that's in all four Gospels. If you've read the four Gospels a lot, you know that there's a lot of times that one of the writers of the Gospels will talk about something, and maybe it will also be talked about in another gospel. This particular incident is spoken of in four gospels. And I was reading through Luke here, and I'm going to read in the New Living Translation because it's the translation that this came out in. And I have checked other translations. I've checked the Greek. I've checked all the other things because your Bible say, well, my Bible doesn't say that. So let's kind of learn together. How about that? In verse 10, when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. This is after they had been sent out by Jesus to perform miracles, signs and wonders in His name. And then He slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where He was going, as they often did, and they followed Him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and He healed those who were sick. So late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to Him and said, "Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms, so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place." But Jesus said, "You feed them." I actually preached a sermon, I don't know how long ago, I have to look up the date. "You feed them. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" For there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, "Tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each." So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, He kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. So, wow, huh?
Amazing.
Did you guys see it? It's like you're all like, what is he talking about? We should decide, like, what'd you get? We could be out here at it a while. Well, it's in verse 16. And again, you guys may just read this and just say, so? It's like, but to me, this jumps off at the page. It says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, He kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Now, every time I've seen this reenacted, In movies, every time I've seen this, in my head, in my picture, based on other translations and stuff I've read, I've always thought of this. Just take a moment here. Jesus taking the fish, breaking it, giving it to disciples, taking the bread, giving it to his disciples. Then wherever the disciples are going, they're taking what he gave them, and somehow this is multiplying. And somehow it's a miracle of as they're grabbing things, but that's not what's happening. I believe this is what's happening. Jesus is taking the fish, blessing it, breaking it, handing it to his disciples, handing it to disciples, handing it to disciples, breaking bread, handing it to disciples. He fed all 5,000 with what came out of his hands. He fed all 5,000. And I want us to realize that he is the source. Amen. He is the source. He's the source for your answers. He's the source for your answers, Brian. He's the source for my life. He's the source for every need that we have. Yes, we have a relationship with Heavenly Father. And as you guys have heard over the past few months, that has been awakened in me. That I am a child of God, that I have a Heavenly Father, that I am loved, that I can't do anything else in this life here to make God love me anymore, approve me anymore. I am His beloved, and He is mine. His banner over me is love. You've heard all that. But Jesus is our source. And I want us to get this back into full perspective, because I believe that's what the Lord wanted to fill my heart with. I thought, wow, this is just really neat. But as I'm sharing right now, I realize Jesus is our source. He points us towards the Father. He's the one that's interceding between the Father and us, that makes us holy, makes us righteous, makes us pure. And I believe, as it says in another translation, it doesn't say it there, but it says, the people ate until they wanted no more. That was a long time to feed that many people. I wonder what that scene looked like. Them just keep coming back to Jesus for more food, more food. Do you guys see that? Kept giving. Some translations said he began to give. Well, if he begins to give, what does he also do? Continues giving. Jesus is our source. And this holiday season, he needs to be the source of everything in our lives. He needs to be the source of our peace. Our peace can't come from outside sources. I hope you guys realize that. Because this world is going to continue to get darker. It's going to continue to get more squirrely. It's going to continue to get more uncertain, the times that we live in. The Bible does not say perilous times will come and then it will get better. It says perilous times will come. Yeah. Now, if you think that somehow, some way that there's going to be some political movement or there's going to be some moral movement, there's going to be something that happens that changes the world before Jesus comes back, that's not biblical. Perilous times come. It's going to be more lovers of themselves, men will do. More people loving money, loving greed, loving you know, all the things that this life can give. And if we try to take what's exterior and let that become our peace or our source or our comfort or how we're going to get by, then we're going to be really disappointed because he has got to be the source. And he's going to keep giving. I believe he will keep giving during these hard times. I believe he will meet our need according to his riches and glory if we keep our eyes on him. You're in such a good place, Sandy, because you didn't fret, you didn't worry, you didn't say, I'm going to fix this myself, because when we do that, we tie his hands. We do, we tie his hands. Now, I'm so thankful that the disciples just kept coming back. That they somehow didn't halfway through go, how's this happening? This can't be happening. This is impossible. And he's just waiting over there to give them more. It's like, yeah, that's going to run. They never did that. They knew he was the source and that he would always have what they needed. Now, their eyes were blind. We talk about having a gift from God of seeing. That is a gift that we need to grab hold of. It is our inheritance to see. It is our inheritance to have spiritual eyes. Now, our natural eyes can see things, and it can actually contradict what our spiritual eyes want to see. We can set our eyes on things of this earth, and it dulls things of above. It dulls the promises of God. It dulls the truth of who He is and who we are if we set our eyes with natural eyes. So she's talking about supernatural eyes, spiritual eyes. Let me turn here in my Bible. Kind of all over the place, aren't I? I knew this was going to happen. 2 Corinthians, I think it is. Hang on. Got all your Christmas shopping done? No? Yes? What's that? Oh, okay. I'll try to hurry. About 2 o'clock. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, those visiting today are shuddering right now. No! Hang on. What's that? Well, the Lord is good, isn't He? I'm so thankful for Him. Sorry, I'm looking for the verse that I want. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Again, as I said before, I've read that always, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't entered into my heart the things that God has prepared for me, then, and I do love Him. And so I limited what I could see. I limited what I could understand by my own belief system. And I want to tell you today that I believe we're in a day of sight, spiritual sight. And I believe that we as disciples coming back to get the fish and the loaves now don't have to be blinded. We don't have to, 2 chapters later on, say, well, what are we going to do? We got 4,000 now, less. He did it with 5,000. They still did not have the understanding that He fed 5,000 that day. When the 4,000 appeared again, a couple chapters later, a couple maybe weeks later, I don't know, guess what? They're going, how are we going to feed them? We are in a generation where we do not have to say that anymore. How are we going to get through this? We're in a generation, I believe, that the Holy Spirit of God is being poured out in such a supernatural way. I'm talking to people all over the place. They're getting an understanding of who God is, who they are. And sight is coming to them. And I believe that we are to be the ones that distribute the loaves and the fishes, so to speak, to this lost and dying world. That was just a representation of God as the source. And God is the source for this lost and dying world. There is no other thing that will take care of Connecticut. I'm telling you right now. They could send 1,000 counselors there. And those counselors, as good as they may be, and as trained as they may be, cannot heal those hearts. Only Jesus Christ and His finished work of the cross coming in to those mothers and fathers who lost those dear loved ones. Some husbands and wives that lost. I mean, it's a tragedy. But there's no answer for the pain that was brought in this world. But there are ones that carry this light and carry truth and carry the love of God. And we know where to go back and get fed, or fed ourselves and feed the food for others. Is this making sense? Good, because listen to what verse 10 says. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Even though it says in the Old Testament, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. That scripture is not applicable to us. I'm here to tell you right now. But God has revealed them to us. So you can see the source. You can see that He keeps giving. And the next time a circumstance or situation comes up that you need to have that miracle again, you can know who the miracle will come from. He is the answer. He is the reason. He is our all in all. You know, without Him, we can't do anything. But with Him, we can do all things. Melissa, you were never alone when you had the Holy Spirit unctioning you. And no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That means no shame, no guilt. You're learning. Just ask Holy Spirit to give you another opportunity. Because God's a big God, and you know what? If He needed to speak to someone, He can put it on someone else's heart. But you take that initiative and the authority that God has given you as your Father, as the one who loves you, as the one who's going to lead and guide you in life, and you walk into those situations that are kind of a little dicey, not really sure how it's going to, talking to a complete stranger, well, what's that going to do? How am I going to do that? Just know He's with you. Amen. And with Jesus, you can do all things. All things. All things. That means talking to a stranger. That means having your family come to know Him. Yeah. Those who look the farthest away, God can just reach down, touch their hearts, and draw Him to Himself. It says, no one comes to the Father unless, or Jesus, unless God draws them. The Father draws them. The Spirit of God draws them. Let's believe that God is going to transform our families these holiday seasons. Why do we have to go into Christmas and think, oh, it's going to be the same? Anyone been there? You know, you have family and like, they don't know the Lord and they like laugh when I pray. And you kind of have this expectation of what's going to take place. Why not have an expectation that God's going to move? And you let His love shine through you. You go back to that source that keeps giving. You say, Lord, you gave to me. Now I receive this for them. Peter, Gate Beautiful. I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, what's been deposited in me by the Holy Spirit, I give to you. Let's know what's inside of us. We have that keep giving deposit in us. One more verse and I'm done. How about that? You're going to get to do your Christmas shopping today. No, I know. Lynette, you like keeping people here till 2:30 or 3 with rehearsals, so that won't happen today. By faith, I'm saying that. Who knows? I turn to the scripture, all of a sudden, heaven might break loose. Acts 2:4. Now, we know as believers that Acts was the start of the church as we know it. We're a product of and we're a result of that Pentecost experience. And I want you to know that what Holy Spirit did that day has not stopped. Listen, Acts 2:4 in the Amplified says this, and they were all filled or diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit, and notice this in the Amplified, says, kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. I want to say this. I believe that Holy Spirit has been giving and giving and giving. Now, has man held Him back? Yeah, I agree. There's been grieving. There's been churches saying, we don't want the Holy Spirit, you know, here, or we don't want the demonstration spirit, or we don't want the freedom spirit, or different things throughout the ages. But I'm here to tell you that I believe there's a people rising up in this day that is looking back to the Father, looking to the Son, and looking to the Spirit, saying, Lord, we want you to give us what our inheritance is, so that we can be a light to this lost and dying world. Not so that we can accumulate our own, you know, spiritual wealth, so to speak, and stand out as some kind of, you know, prideful spiritual giants. No, in a humility, in a brokenness, we receive all that the Spirit has for us to receive, and we freely give as we've been given. Listen, the disciples were able to feed 5,000 with just a few fish and a few pieces of bread. And yes, that was a significant miracle. But the only reason that the disciples were able to feed them, because Jesus said, you feed them, was because he was the source. And we have to remember that he is the source. And we're connected to the source. We should never go without having what God wants us to have. Do you realize that? We should never go without having what God wants us to have. We are connected to the source. Now, the timing may be not necessarily in our plans, you know, because we want it now. And God's perfecting a work in us. He's wanting us to walk by faith, not by sight. Can you imagine every time you said a prayer, if you got it instantly, what would you start doing? You'd start just thinking it was your prayer, wouldn't you? Start thinking it's my demand, God moves. He's not a genie. But we are connected to the source. And so whatever this lost and dying world needs, Jesus has. And guess what? We have him. So we are the answer. Not in a prideful way, but in a humble, grateful way. We are the answer for the world because Jesus is the answer and we are his representatives. And as we go into 2013, which is hard for me to believe. I remember last year when I said 2012, it sounded like crazy. And boy, has it been. Somebody listen to that. Hasn't it been a spiritual odyssey? I mean, I can tell you in my own life several times that I've had a significant event take place this year that has changed my course for life in good ways.
That's what you were talking about in that sermon at the
Yeah, well, praise.
It's pretty awesome.
I didn't even, at the time, I'm like going, but you know what? God is faithful. And it's not because I preach the sermons, because of what Holy Spirit is doing. I just agreed with what he's doing. As I'm reminding you here today that you are connected to the source. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to, you know, get all anxious over things that, for a lot of people, would be anxious. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which is what you've received, daughter, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, stand with me. I don't know where we went, but God does. I was sitting there saying, Lord, why can't I just, you know, have a sermon like Gay Season's Greetings last year. That was great. And it was for the season. But you know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so I'm going to be obedient. And if my sometimes clumsy obedience helps encourage you guys to step out beyond your comfort zones, then praise God. Amen. I was at an office that I was working at this week, and an individual was coughing severely. I mean, coughing. She's been coughing for like 4 months. And I kept thinking, you know, I need to pray for her, but I'm working on the computers. I do computer consultant as my tent-making job. And I was sitting there, and for those of you who read the Bible, you know what I just referred to. But computers and tents, I don't get it. Go read your word. You'll get it. But anyway, so the point being is that I'm thinking, I was there for several hours. I need to pray, you know. And so I was leaving, and the Holy Spirit said, go back. So I went back, just prayed a simple prayer. Said, I just, in Jesus' name, rebuke this cold, this cough. You have no place in this vessel. Be gone in Jesus' name. And they said, let's hope that that's all it takes. I said, amen. Someone said, it's not their faith, it's our faith. They're not the source. Jesus is the source, and I'm connected to the source. And so let's boldly step out. Right, girl? Oh, yeah. I see you next time. And let's become light to this dark world. You know, it was the Star of Bethlehem that led those wise men for 2 years. It was light that led them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have that same opportunity. We can be the Star of Bethlehem. We can. And we can lead those ones that are searching for truth to the giver of truth. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for every heart that's here today, God. I pray, Lord, that light would just continue to illuminate them, Lord, that they would see clearly. They would know beyond a shadow of doubt, Lord, who they are in Christ, who you are in their life, Father. And God, that they would be, Lord, living examples of Jesus here on this earth. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you as a source, God, would meet every need in their life, God, so that they could meet the needs, Lord, in others' lives, Lord, through you. I pray blessing upon them, Lord, as they gather, Lord, this Christmas day, Lord, that you would let them be bold as lions, Lord, and Lord, that there would just be also a gentleness of spirit as doves, Lord, that they would display at the same time. Lord, I pray that love of God would just fill their hearts and fill their lives, and that's what they would exhibit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Lord, for leaving heaven, leaving your place of glory, and coming and humbling yourself as a little babe, and then entrusting your life, Lord, into the lives of humans, and then growing up and becoming our Savior by laying down your life. Lord, we thank you for your demonstration of love, and we receive it fresh into our hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Choir practice now. Go shop. Oh, sorry. Also, we would like family pictures up here that will be on a slideshow tonight. So if you guys would like to have your picture taken to be on the slideshow, Tanya will be taking your picture, and she'll make you look really good.